This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hour number two of Sports Saturday. Mick Schaefer, Josh Briscoe. Sunny day, not a cloud in the sky as I can see it right here. Got one boy playing state baseball in Manhattan, another playing World Series in Kansas City, and I am here with you. Just watching an eye score. It's pretty cool. Just watch your kids at bats right there. Yell at them and they don't hear you, which is probably good. Phone number 913-3810-810. All right, we're going to throw it out there. This is going to be a border war hour. Coming up at 10:20-ish, we'll talk with Matt Galloway. He's the guy from the Topeka Capital Journal who kind of stoked that fire, getting Bill Self to quote from vacation about R. Bowen Lofton and his thoughts on Lofton's comments about him blowing up the a potential football game. Bill, very snarky, sarcastic, didn't deny it, but he did have a good quote. And, of course, that has fueled the flames. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Give us a call. Whichever side you're on, we can talk about it, which is what you want to do in early July when nothing else is going on. Not like we haven't talked about this before, ad nauseum. You know both sides. Missouri wants to keep playing. Kansas doesn't. Says, you left the conference. You forfeited your right to that. I could see both sides. I really can. I put myself in my school's shoes. If it was Oklahoma State, one way or the other. First of all, if Oklahoma left the conference, I would not want to play them because they beat Oklahoma State all the time. And I would like the whole punishment thing. But if Oklahoma State left, and I could see, okay, well, what's your problem? We want to play you still. So I see both sides. What side are you on? 913-3810-810. Again, we'll talk with Matt Galloway as R. Bowen Lofton. I mean, this is an old quote pretty much. It just got dug back up. He just said it again. Talking about the potential of a football game at Arrowhead. And the notion that Bill Self nixed that. Phil called in. He's up first here. What's going on, Phil?
Hey, what's going on, Big Dog? Congratulations.
Thank you. First time I've ever been called Big Dog. I appreciate it.
Hey, I'm a big KU fan. Went to school there, and, of course, parents went there as well. And I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed that KU has kind of blackballed Missouri on this border war thing. Of course, as a KU fan, I could care less about the football game at Arrowhead. But, I mean, I just live for those basketball games. They were epic. You know, either which way, I know some argument is about leaving the conference, but, man, that was such a tradition. That got the city riled up. I mean, just the fun and the talking back and forth between the fans, you know, the week leading up to the game, whether one of the teams was relevant or not, it was always a good game. And, man, I just miss it. I wish they'd come back with it.
They've played in, softball and is it volleyball? There's been a couple kind of Olympic sports they've played in, like three or four times, Mizzou and Kansas.
Get pumped up about that.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, I'm kind of with you. I thought it would go like this. Okay, KU's going to be kind of maybe stompy foot about it for about 5 years. But then the dust is going to settle. We're all going to get used to Missouri being in the SEC. And then, okay, let's have this rivalry renewed. Maybe we're still in that grace period, but it has been 6 years. So it is interesting, Phil, to see the KU side of it, that you want the rivalry back. And you mentioned basketball. I'm sure you love it there. Football, well, we'll see. But, I mean, that's even when KU wasn't winning those games, actually they were all competitive games at Arrowhead. That was just a great atmosphere, wasn't it? It was always around Thanksgiving, right? They had the snow game. Always terrific, terrific atmosphere. I would look forward to a football renewed rivalry, I think, more than basketball.
Hey, man, keep it going. And, you know, either which way, but I'd love to see that border war back.
Yeah.
Other than volleyball and softball.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, thanks for the phone call, Phil. 913-3810-810. Phil called it. Am I good there? I'm just, there's too many buttons here.
You'll figure out
Josh.
The phones eventually.
Do we have somebody else here?
Sorry, I couldn't hear you. I didn't have my headphones.
Do we have somebody? I thought I hung up on him, and I'm trying to go to another caller here.
Yeah, you're good. I think you're gonna figure it out here in a second. But see, there's a little button with the square and the dot in the middle. That's like the hang up button.
Sure.
And then if you hit the button used to accept the call, if you hit that a second time, it locks them in.
Yeah.
And then you can't hang up on them even if you want to.
Okay, that's too much for me.
It's all right. I'll explain it 17 more times.
Okay. I'm gonna go to the line here. Who do we have here on the phone?
That's JT.
Hey JT, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how you doing, guys? Yeah, I heard you talking about the border war, so I immediately had to jump in because I'm so pissed off about the way this thing has gone. Look, everybody who is siding with not playing is effectively suckling at Texas's man tit. what they're doing is they're saying, yes, the way that the Texas treated the other schools of the Big 12 is exactly the right way, and we should all line up behind Texas and support them. It's insane. Everybody who had a chance to leave, short of Oklahoma, left, okay? The fact that Missouri was ahead of the power curve by what's going to prove to probably be 8 years is not a bad thing. It's what everybody who's reasonable should have done. Kansas should really be nice to Missouri because they may be looking for a spot soon, okay?
Are you on the Mizzou?
About to go down in flames.
Are you a Mizzou fan, JT?
Yes, completely. And I was completely behind the move to the SEC. I got my family and everybody I knew to write letters to the board of curators. I saw this as you either take the opportunity that's presented to you or you continue to back Texas. And I'm not going to back Texas the way they've acted with the Longhorn Network. The Longhorn Network was the last straw. The SEC Network's fantastic. I love it. I watch a lot of Mizzou sports on it. Anyone who thinks that Missouri made a bad move by going to the SEC or should kowtow in any way to Kansas has lost their mind. Bill Self is a little crybaby, okay? He needs to stop being such a little woman, and he needs to step up and play a freaking game.
Strong stuff, JT. I do like the, what was it, Texas, suckling at Texas's man. I'll say boob, but that was a good line there. I don't know. It's like it seems like Texas is always the ghost that everybody blames. I think this is KU on its own, and whether it is Bill Self or more guys
now.
in the administration, I just have never believed that you know Texas is whispering in everybody's ear. Don't go play these teams because KU's played Nebraska, right, and Colorado.
I'm not saying that Texas is saying that at this point. What I'm saying is that if you support the architecture that Texas built the Big 12 upon, okay, then you're saying that they've done things the right way. And they are the ones who tried to take six schools, the six Southern schools, and leave the Big 12 and go to the Pac-12 a year before any of this stuff ever started, okay? So backing that approach doesn't make any sense. Everybody who can who can stand up to Texas should stand up to Texas. The fact that KU and Oklahoma, who are the other two who really had an opportunity to do it, didn't do it before the Big 12 folded is sad. But just the idea that they then take that and make it into something that's like a spurned lover is insane. You should make the best of your present situation, not continue to focus on something that happened in the past that's never going to go back to the way it was. And it's only going to get worse for you in your present situation.
All right, JT, good stuff. I agree with a lot of that. Like I said before, I'm surprised that the rivalry has not been renewed, not just on the KU Missouri side, but then also a Texas A&M deal. I think they're mutually exclusive. I think they're both kind of making that decision. Maybe they're in cahoots. I don't know. But here it is, KU and Missouri, since what the split in 2011, have played soccer twice, which is women's soccer. Softball twice, volleyball once, all in the NCAA tournament. So not scheduled, all in the NCAA tournament. And a lot of times in those NCAA tournaments, for those smaller Olympic sports, they regionalize it. So you're gonna play teams that are close to you. So that's why it's not like it's an NCAA tournament and they put KU and Missouri together. No, that's just how it always happens. You play teams that are close to you in those tournaments. 913-3810-810 is the phone number. Kurt's online. What's up, Kurt?
Hey, I just have a quick response to the MU guy that just was on. My response was, we do play teams in the SEC, but they just have to be relevant. You know, we play Kentucky. We beat Kentucky. Get a relevant program. Get a relevant basketball program, and then we'll start to play you. Have a great day. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much, Kurt. This is now going the direction I thought it would go. 913-3810-810. JT Strong, Kurt Strong as well. Chris, what do you got for us?
Hey, it cracks me up, the Mizzou fan there. I mean, he's an idiot. And I'll tell you why, and I'll follow his point. So Texas was the bully. Okay, mean Texas gave Missouri the Big 12 tournament in their home state 95% of the time. They gave us a third of the football games at Arrowhead Stadium in the home state of Missouri, at mean Texas. Okay, they gave Missouri the right to keep their third-tier broadcast rights. The second biggest state in the Big 12 should have loved that rule. If you had a brain and knew how to run your own network in St. Louis and Kansas City, you would have made a fortune. And now they're in the SEC, Mick, and how well is it going for them in the SEC? They have to go to Atlanta for the for the SEC basketball tournament. Are any Mizzou fans going to that? Hell no. The football games, St. Louis is getting no football games. Kansas City's getting no SEC championship game, and they never will. They don't fit into the SEC, and they know it. And, you know, and what's going to happen, Mick, KU's going to end up in the Big Ten, and that's where Missouri wanted to be in the first place. So we're going to get the last laugh. Thanks, Mick.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for the phone call. You know, the biggest thing for Texas, and they get blamed for a lot, and trust me, I am not a Texas fan whatsoever. The biggest thing for me with Texas was the revenue sharing. I still can't believe that this time, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, it was so unbalanced. Texas would make $20 million, right? And Iowa State $3.5 million or something like that. Maybe the disparity wasn't that bad, but that was the biggest thing. And maybe they were pulling other strings, but maybe not. Like I said, a lot of times we're blaming Texas for a lot of things, like we're seeing ghosts. But that was ridiculous, the whole revenue sharing and how quickly it changed once those schools bolted from the Big 12. 913-3810-810. JT's calling back. He is back. JT, we'll go right back to you. What's up, man?
Okay, so Kurt obviously doesn't understand finances. I hope the guy doesn't have a freaking mortgage, okay? Because the fact of the matter is that that Missouri is making as much as Texas today in the SEC, and no other Big 12 school is sniffing that, okay? There is no way in hell that Missouri has any interest in being part of anything like the Big 12, and no school should, okay? It's ridiculous. These Kansas fans that can't see that it was by far the best decision and that are going to be lining up and begging for a spot somewhere are missing the boat completely. It's just so narrow-minded and stupid that I can't believe it.
All right, JT. I think, let's say, I'm looking it up here. The SEC schools are making about $40 million a year, I think, in revenue, and Big 12's a little over 30, I think, which is up, you know, both great numbers, right, for both schools and both conferences. But the Big 12 is up, you know, quite a bit. Obviously, it helps having 10 teams as opposed to 14. That's been one of the biggest reasons why they've stood pat at 10. Yeah, so about 40 and a little over 30, it looks like. So, yeah, Missouri making more than Kansas and all the other Big 12 schools. Who are we going to? Sam first? Sam's been waiting 3 minutes here. Sam, which side are you on, buddy?
I am a KU fan.
Okay.
And I guess I was just kind of calling in response to JT's first phone call.
I have the feeling JT is calling back for a third time here.
Yeah. Well, I guess so. He kind of proved my point with his second phone call, saying is, you know, obviously the SEC makes a lot of money, and I would imagine that Missouri moved there for their recruiting as well. I guess, for a solely basketball perspective, we're not playing Missouri because of recruiting. Bill Self already has a pretty good stranglehold on St. Louis. Same exact reason why we're not playing Wichita State. And I don't mean to compare Wichita State to Missouri because that'd be a diss on Wichita State. But us playing Missouri in basketball doesn't help KU at all. I don't see any reason why we need to, especially when they've been garbage. I mean, we've been garbage in football. If you want to see a blowout, I disagree with the KU fan who called earlier. I mean, the MU-KU games were fun, but, I mean, at this point, I'd rather play a game against legit competition, maybe in a location where we're trying to get recruits at. We don't need any more coverage in St. Louis as far as recruiting goes, so that would be the only reason why I would think that we would need to play Missouri.
All right, good call. Thanks very much, Sam. We appreciate it. 913-3810-810 is the number. So I've always had different reasons for not playing Wichita State as opposed to Missouri if you're KU. It always seemed like for Wichita State, if you're KU, it's a no-win situation. You're supposed to win that game, and when you don't, maybe you lose the one, I don't know, blue-chip kid that comes out of Kansas every 5 years or maybe less often than that. For Missouri, it's always seemed like punishment for leaving the league in KU's mind for not playing them. Let's go back to the phones here. They're lighting up the most phone calls, Josh, I've ever had on Sports Saturday. Steve's up next. What do you got, Steve?
Hey, the thing that JT and Missouri fans have to remember is none of us know what sort of agreements were made behind closed doors when all this was going down. We heard a little bit about it, but all the Big 12 schools, but kind of the original Big 8 were banding together, and Missouri flew the coop in the middle of all that. So, you know, like I say, none of us know what was discussed behind closed doors, but that probably fuels some of that resentment that self and others have.
Yep. All right. Thanks for the phone call, Steve. Got time for two more, and then we're going to break, and we're going to have Matt Galloway of the Topeka Capital Journal on to further this discussion. John's up next. Hey, John. Hold on a second. John, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Good. What do you got?
I just want to say to all the crybaby KU fans, the only reason they're not in the SEC is because they didn't get invited. They're not good enough or worthy enough. And I'll listen off the air. Thank you.
Thanks. I feel like I'm Paul Feinbaum here this morning. It's
Maury.
It's fun. Yes, this is great radio. I don't have to do anything except go to Robert, your final phone caller of the segment. Robert, you'll have the last word. What say you?
All right. Hey, real quick, guys. Missouri tried to stay. JT was right. A year and a half before they left, Texas tried to take six teams to the Pac-10. Then Missouri's pledge to the Big 12, and 2 weeks before they decided to leave, Oklahoma and Texas were out flirting with the Pac-12 again. They left because they had to, and it's better financially. The rest of it, I wish they played, but honestly, I could care less at this point about Kansas. So, you know, good luck with the Big West or wherever they end up. I hope they do well.
All right. Thanks very much, Robert. We've seen both sides of it. We've seen, Kansas fans who want the rivalry back, and then Missouri fans who don't really care, then, of course, everything in between there. So thanks to everybody for calling in. That's the first real kind of sports talk radio segment I've had where you just open up the phone lines and callers go at it, and you're just kind of like monitoring and stepping back, and great. It was awesome. Thanks so much for the phone calls. When we come back, more on this story. Matt Galloway, he's the guy that got the quote from Bill Self, responding to R. Bowen Lofton. Where does he see this kind of Cold War going? He's in next. This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Honestly, what do we have? Eight callers there? I've gone the whole year without that many callers on a Saturday.
I mean, just JT called in eight times.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm counting. Most Saturdays, we have zero callers. Throw out Border War. Throw out this story, man. And I turn into Paul Feinbaum. It's great. I was exact same haircut. Who's the lady from Phyllis from Alabama or something
Yeah.
That always calls into his show. That was fun. We appreciate it. We will continue the border war, kind of border Cold War conversation here with Matt Galloway of the Topeka Capital Journal. Matt, how are you?
I'm good, Mick. I hate to interrupt that last segment. I just was making some morning popcorn and just listening to the volleys go back and forth.
That was great. This is exactly what we need, Matt, on July 1st, the dog days of summer. You've got the Royals and I guess a GM search for the Chiefs that's kind of died down the last couple of days. We haven't heard much on that. This is exactly what we needed. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thank you to our Bowen Lofton and Bill Self.
All right, so let's go back to not the beginning here. Yeah, morning popcorn.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm trying to like listen to where you're going here, and I'm like, well, if I interrupt, that'll really derail everything. But he just said I was making some morning popcorn.
I think he was joking around because he's listening to it. You know, you make
it was just entertaining.
Popcorn.
It's like the
I wanted that to be a thing Jackson. So bad. I so badly wanted there to be this whole subculture like has popcorn for breakfast.
Sure,
because now it becomes an option for me in my life.
You put icing on it, like some breakfast kind of maybe
some
cinnamon,
some Nutella.
Stuff. Sure,
drizzle
sure.
some Nutella. Over
sure, hold on, a great idea here.
Yes.
Oh man,
Matt, this
all
is
right, have fun with your show. Well,
this is how Sports Saturday usually goes. We just chase tangents, right? We see something shiny and we go after it. So thanks for the popcorn reference. That'll probably fill a segment later on today for us. But let's go back to the R. Bowen Lofton comments. These are recent ones, right? Who was he talking to when he called out Bill Self and said he had a big ego?
Well, he was talking to AL.com. They were running a story on some of the rivalries, including Texas A&M and Texas, that have kind of gone dormant since conference realignment a few years ago. And I think that he just kind of popped off a little bit. He said that the man who got in the way of a potential restart in football at Arrowhead Stadium, he said they had a, quote, lucrative offer, and he had private meetings with then-KU Chancellor Bernadette Gray-Little. But he said, quote, the problem was a man named Bill Self who made it very clear this wasn't going to happen. And he went on to add that he feels like it's more likely Texas will bend and play Texas A&M than Kansas will play Mizzou because he said, quote, Bill Self has a big ego. So Bill Self, I just, you know, threw it out there. I just sent him a text and say, hey, do you have any response to this? Would you like to reply to what our Bowen Lofton said? And Bill Self shot me back a text and said, quote, tell the ex-Missouri chancellor that I coach basketball, not football, that we would never play a game in Arrowhead or even discuss it. It's too cold. We play our games indoors, but I look forward to meeting him someday if he's ever in Lawrence. So when I saw that, I just thought, you know, that is the dictionary definition of throwing shade. So
yes,
definitely just a very coy response by Bill Self, but I think one that probably satisfied a lot of KU fans.
I think it did. I liked both responses. I mean, neither man mincing words there. And then of course Bill to pop off sarcastically to Arbo and Lofton. And of course, you ran with it. The story's on cjonline.com. That's the Topeka Capital Journal online site. You can check it out. Read Matt's work, which is just a great story. I mean, I'm looking this 2,000 shares so far, 18 comments. I have to imagine this has had quite a bit of traffic compared to most stories.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like you just throw a spark in a powder keg. It's like you just saw in your last segment. All you have to do is mention it. And even in Topeka, you get a number of KU and Mizzou fans just going back and forth and the occasional K-State fan that just kind of fans the flames a little bit. So it's a lot of fun to look at, but sometimes you have to kind of keep a close eye on the comments.
Exactly. And you're over there kind of right between KU and K-State. What's the pulse of KU fans right now? And I'll lump in some K-State fans as well, because I've seen them comment on the article as well. I know a lot of K-State fans that don't like Missouri either and are fine with never playing them again as well. What's the pulse? Because we heard some KU fan call in and say, "Hey, no, I'm ready to play him again. I want to renew the rivalry. I like it. I was upset that they left the conference, but I'm ready for this to be a rivalry again. It just makes too much sense." What's the percentage on KU fans that think that way, and then KU fans that say, "Good riddance," I guess.
It's hard to handicap it, but I think there's a majority of KU fans who at least outwardly say that they don't care about Mizzou, that they would, you know, they really couldn't care less if they play Mizzou or if they don't. in football, basketball, or any other sport. And I think it's just kind of putting up a unified front behind what Bill Self has said, which is basically, you know, there's no reason for KU to play Mizzou now that they're not in the Big 12. That's kind of affected. I think that the big answer that Mizzou fans always have is, well, okay, why are you playing Texas A&M and Nebraska next year, and why have you played Colorado? Why are these teams that you're scheduling that they kind of abandoned the Big 12? And I think that part of the idea is that Mizzou might have seen what they thought was the writing on the wall in terms of the Big 12's kind of solvency going forward a few years ago. And you know, they courted the Big 10. They didn't get in the Big 10, and then they ended up making the jump to the SEC. But I think it's just kind of a matter of pride right now. I wouldn't use the word ego with Bill Self, but I think it's a matter of pride. I think it's a, you know, Mizzou knew what the consequences were in terms of this rivalry if they were to make the jump. And we've seen it all over the country. You know, I mentioned in the article, Pittsburgh and West Virginia, that's another one of the premier rivalries in college sports. And those two didn't play each other for several years after they both kind of, I think, split out of the Big East. So if I were to kind of gauge how KU fans feel, I think there are a lot of KU fans who maybe they haven't reached that point yet that they might come a decade from, you know, in 2022 from the last game. But I just think you think about those basketball games, and those are some of the all-time program highlights for both schools. I mean, that last KU and Mizzou game at Allen Fieldhouse is one of the all-time games in KU history. It's a game that they still show the Thomas Robinson block in the pregame highlight video. So I think it's definitely something that is, I would say, conflicted on both sides. And I would venture to say that that's a similar feeling in Columbia.
So both quotes, well, I guess the first one, how much do you believe of what R. Bowen Lofton said? Because I can see it. I could see Bill Self. I mean, he doesn't run that department, but he's the loudest voice in the room over there at KU for obvious reasons. I can totally see that saying, I don't want us to play Missouri in any sport. Do you think that happened? How truthful do you think R. Bowen Lofton's comments were?
Yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time believing that he had a private meeting with Bernadette Gray Little that based solely on the idea of renewing the border war rivalry, and specifically the football one at Arrowhead Stadium. I don't think it's something that Bill Self necessarily needs to say right now without having any kind of inside information on this, and the goings on behind the scenes about the border war. I just think it's something that, you know, Bill Self doesn't have all the power, but he is the big man on campus in terms of, it's I liken it to Bill Snyder's situation at K-State. I don't think it's something that Bill Self has to outwardly say.
Yeah.
I just think it's everybody on campus knows that, you know, this is the direction we're going. And, you know, this is why, because, you know, the biggest, most important figure in our athletics department feels this way. And so we feel this way, too, by proxy.
Well, and then also Bill didn't deny it, right? He gave you a great quote, which was funny, and everybody ran with it. By the way, that was my lead Thursday night on my first ever show on Channel 41. So there you go. I credited the newspaper as well. So you'll be the answer to a really obscure, never asked awesome trivia question.
You're the man, Mick. Congrats on the job too, by the way.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you. I didn't want to, the Royals had played the afternoon game. I didn't want to lead with them again at 10. So that was great. I really appreciate you providing content for us TV guys as well. So what do you think the next step is here? Are we going to have another comment come from the Missouri side, because we just kind of loft bombs back and forth here?
Well, I mean, Jim Stirk told the Kansas City Star that, you know, I think that he thinks that KU is making a point that when they left the Big 12, they weren't going to play anymore. But I think he's talked about, you know, the basketball program's opening dialogue. I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't really know what the next step is. I think that something would have to change for Bill Self to kind of change his mind. Like I said, I think it's an issue of pride rather than ego at this point, and I don't think those two words are necessarily synonyms. I think it's, I don't know. I have a hard time imagining what would have to change here other than KU leaving the Big 12. But I mean, as we saw at the beginning of the month, the Big 12 had record revenue distribution. They had $34.8 million per school and $348 million total just in the last year alone. So I think the Big 12, despite some of the issues in football and some of the conference realignment, just total waste of time for everybody involved, I think it's doing much better than it was at the point that those four schools left the conference. So I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. If you ask me if I think in the next 5 to 10 years that KU and Mizzou will start scheduling each other in sports again, I would say I think that that's slightly more likely than less likely. But, I mean, with football, these teams schedule their non-cons so far in advance. I mean,
yeah,
it could be 2023, 2024 before we start seeing those again.
Yeah, I think it was what Missouri scheduled, is it Boston College, I think, to play in Arrowhead in 2024, which was, we had a story the other day. I'm like, is that even a story? That's 7 years away, for crying out loud. Yeah. Put that in your calendar. Yeah, exactly. Will there be schools and conferences and all that stuff? Will those exist? Matt Galloway of CJ Online and Topeka Capital Journal is our guest here. Go check it out on CJ Online. I'm sure it's at the top of the page because, as we mentioned, 2,000 shares so far. Bill Self fires back after ex-Mizzou chancellor blames KU hoops coach for border war stalemate. I see it happening maybe first in football if it does happen again. I don't know how you feel, Matt, because, I mean, those games were just the great atmosphere, right? It's at a neutral location. Arrowhead, kind of right between Lawrence and Columbia. Not right between, but close enough, right? On the Missouri side, closer to Lawrence, whatever. And those atmospheres were just so great. I see the desire for that football game maybe happening first before basketball. But as you said, you have to schedule these things so far out when it comes to football.
Right, and I think that we all, I mean, you mentioned it in the last segment, the snow game, a huge, huge entertaining game, and then the Orange Bowl season, the year that Mizzou beat KU and ended up losing in the Big 12 championship game. I think that those are the memories that people have fondly of football. I think near the end it got a little bit lopsided, and I think we see that kind of with KU and K-State at this point. But, I mean, who knows? If you talk about how long they schedule these, the programs could completely be flipped upside down. I mean, David Beatty could be coming off of a BCS game appearance, and Mizzou could be coming off of the same thing. So who knows? It's so far down the road. But I would have to say that I think if they do schedule each other again, I could just see it happening in basketball first, just given how quick it seems these schools can schedule their non-con opponents for.
They need to chase this feeling, though, and chase this quote, I say, in that play a basketball game, not with your current players, maybe a KU Mizzou alumni basketball game at Arrowhead, right? Pick a couple charities. All the money goes to that. I think that needs to happen. That would be great. That would be kind of like an olive branch. Maybe get started there.
Just an all-star game. I would love to
see
that. Yeah.
Sure.
Kim English, Thomas Robinson.
That would be great. Get the Pressy back. Get all those guys back from the last game in 2011. I like that idea. So, I mean, do you expect anything to happen of this, or is this just kind of like another kind of a Cold War battle in this ongoing story?
I think it's just another episode in the long chapter of what was coined back at the time that this happened as the Border Cold War. I think that's just a great name for this, and I think this is just another episode in this, although I will say Bill Self usually isn't this blunt with his responses. He usually doesn't get this coy with his responses. It's just kind of, him just saying, we don't see any advantage to playing Missouri at this time, and I only have control over my own program, which to a degree he said, but it's kind of, I think at the point whenever, he was questioned, or he was basically accused of having an ego and stepping in and, basically vetoing something that wasn't even one of his own sports. I think it's, I think that kind of maybe perked his interest a little bit and made him kind of, return fire a little bit, as I phrased it on Twitter. So I think that this is just, I don't think this is going to be the impetus for anything. I think it's just another chapter in the long, long,
yeah,
I guess, off the court and off the field Border Cold War.
All right. So what are the chances here? What would you put the chances at in the next, say, 4 years that these two actually meet in the NCAA basketball tournament, in that Konzo Martin's in town, Michael Porter Jr.'s in town, there might be another Porter as well playing. They have a terrific, one of the top recruiting classes in the nation. For all intents and purposes, Missouri's going to turn this thing around rather quickly, and the expectations are to get to back to being a regular in the NCAA tournament. What do you put the chances at of the NCAA making this happen here down the road?
Well, we've seen the NCAA kind of do that with Wichita State. I think they love the matchup. And as you mentioned, the Olympic sports, KU and Mizzou have played each other, although that is kind of more of a regional aspect. I could see, I mean, I think if Mizzou is right around that 7-10 seed next year and KU's in the 1-2 range, I think it's absolutely within the realm of possibility that the selection committee could want that kind of sexy first weekend matchup as a possibility, if that's something that could happen. And I think that my gut is that that's kind of where those two schools might be hovering next year. I know some people have, you know, said that Mizzou could get as high as a 4 and maybe they could meet in a later round, but or in the second weekend. But I think it's just something that I think if the NCAA tournament has that kind of a matchup on the table, I think they're all aware of that rivalry. I think even though they haven't played, I think it's something that people all still know. And I think it's still one of the premier rivalries in all of college sports. I think it's, you know, you have the Ohio State-Michigan tier, and then you kind of have everything else. And I know you know Oklahoma and Oklahoma State is one of those rivalries. But I just think that if it's an opportunity that could happen, I think it could happen as soon as next year, and it could be something that they just don't happen to run across each other. I don't see a scenario in which they're, you know, guaranteed to play each other like a first-round type matchup. But but I do think that it's something that could be in the cards if both teams have a good season coming up in the next year.
Well, I mean, look, it's the only rivalry out there that has its foundation based in actual war, right? Actual war is how this rivalry got started. One of my good friends, Eric Ashel, over at Time Warner Cable and Spectrum Sports Now, did a great documentary, gosh, probably almost 10 years ago, something like that, on the border war and just how, you know, intense it was, obviously, in sports, but then, you know, before that, how it was literally life and death. So I agree with you. It's too good to be gone forever, and hopefully it comes back sometime soon, whether it's schools wanting to do it or the NCAA. We talked before, Matt, I don't know if you covered the KU-Missouri softball, volleyball, and soccer games at all, but they have played like 4 times. All in the NCAA tournament in those sports.
Yeah, and I think that those get a ton more interest than they would have had they been playing.
Sure, Creighton or something like that, yeah.
Or Creighton or something, yeah.
Yeah, good point there. Before we let you go, I know you cover KU, obviously, on a regular basis. This team heading to Italy soon, I believe, and for, you know, one of those team bonding trips. But it seems like if a team needs that bonding, it's going to be this team. All the transfers in town, they probably need this trip just to get to know each other, do they not?
Yeah, I mean, I believe the number is seven new faces and 9 players on the roster that haven't seen a minute of action on the court for KU. So, I mean, Bill Self is definitely getting the work in behind the scenes, but I think that this is going to be a great trip for KU in terms of just meshing and getting better. We saw, I think, how well the trip to Korea for the World University Games helped that team 2 years ago. I think this is more along the same lines. I think it's an opportunity for guys to really mesh and learn their roles. And, you know, there's only so much you can do in scrimmages or exhibitions, you know, against each other. But when you're playing against actual competition, and I'm not going to profess to be an expert on the level of Italian competition that they'll be playing overseas, but I do know that it's an opportunity for Bill Self to get more practices in and get more instruction and kind of really slide guys into the roles that he wants them to have and kind of, you know, experiment with some things. See if guys like LeGerald Vick can kind of survive at the 4 and if they can run the 4-guard package that they ran so well last year with Josh Jackson to any kind of similar success at all. So I think it's a great opportunity for KU to kind of just get their feet under them and kind of just, if nothing else, for the off-the-court bonding that the team will be doing given the number of new faces that they have.
Awesome stuff, Matt. We appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday for us.
No problem, Mick. Thank you.
Matt Galloway of CJ Online and the Topeka Capital Journal. Check out his stuff at cjonline.com, stoking the border Cold War, as he put it. 913-3810-810. We'll take more of your phone calls. If you got some comments after listening to Matt on the border war, give us a shout. Sports Saturday continues after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday with Mick Schaefer on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Love a little Vampire Weekend. on a Saturday. A little Step, my all-time favorite songs. Well done, Josh. You know me so well. You know me so well. You cut right to the core.
I just found like a whole section of Vampire Weekend songs, so the rest of today is going to be just a stack of it.
So, apparently, in radio, whenever you're wondering, okay, what are we going to do this segment? If you don't have any ideas, you can just say Border War, sit back, and just punch the buttons on the phone and let people go back and forth. Duly noted. Duly noted. As these 3 hours can be long, but not today. Not today, folks. That was a good segment there with Matt Galloway beforehand. And, of course, the phone callers going back and forth. On Twitter, people are commenting about it. So, some action here on a normally slow-moving Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So, Paul George is going to Oklahoma City. Transition. Is this the first day of NBA free agency? Is that the deal?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah, like last night, I guess, the report started, so yeah.
Sure. So you've got that going on. And then you said Blake Griffin re-signs with the Clippers.
Yep.
Although, what are they going to be like? They got,
not good.
No.
Him not in the West.
DeAndre Jordan, right?
That's it.
That's it. Chris Paul's gone. They did draft my guy Juwan Evans. He's kind of like, I don't know, poor man's Chris Paul right now. So maybe he can come in and play right away. But the stat I saw, and I don't know the metrics or what they're basing it on, but 15 of the top 16 players in the NBA now reside in the Western Conference. Of course, the one guy that doesn't, LeBron, over in the East.
I heard, I think it was on the Lebatard show, they were talking about, who do you think the second biggest star in the Eastern Conference is?
Isaiah Thomas?
Maybe, but he's so limited on defense. Like, he's a bad defender.
And he just kind of became a quote-unquote star this year, really.
In a vacuum, yeah.
Who is the answer?
You could say John Wall.
Sure.
And you could say Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could say Kevin Love.
Yeah.
But the Cavs have three of the five
top
biggest
five
stars
in the East.
It's ridiculous. And the Cavs aren't even close enough. They weren't even close to winning a title this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they were close by round, of course. But
sure.
Eyeball test, not even close.
But here's the deal. I guess if you're LeBron, stay there, right? You don't have to sift through the minefield that is the Warriors and now the Thunder again and the Rockets and the Spurs. And the, I don't know, Jazz, if they get up and running. You don't have to sift through that. You're going to coast to the NBA Finals every year. You just got to get hot for 10 days.
I disagree, though, because LeBron isn't having any trouble getting finals appearances. And people aren't talking about him being subordinate to Jordan because of his lack of finals appearances. I'm talking about his lack of titles.
Well, here's the problem, though. If you go to the West, it's going to be harder to get to the finals, right? It'll be the opposite, right? If you get to the finals, you're going to win. So what do you want? Do you want the road paved for you? Or do you want it bumpy, but when you get there, it's the promised land? So I don't know. It's amazing. The East should be like a second-tier soccer league in Europe, right? To where if you're in the West, if you finish in the bottom four, they ship you off to the East. I don't care if you're Portland, right? You're going to play in the East. Hell, Mizzou's in the SEC East. You're in the East, for crying out loud. And then maybe if you're like the Cavs and the Celtics, you can graduate to the West for the next year. I think it should be that way. It's so funny. Just the balance of power in basketball and how, more than any other sport, man, you can just go anywhere, create your own teams, get your own stars, and give it a roll. Because you know what? It's basketball. You need two dudes. That's about it. And right now, two dudes is more than the entire Eastern Conference has, it seems like. So there you have it. Those are the news and notes from the NBA today on this Saturday morning. You have Paul George going to the Thunder, which automatically, I don't know, makes them a contender, probably. They were somewhat of a contender this year, man, they made the playoffs.
They're less of a contender than they were with Westbrook and Durant.
They're less of one, I would say. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they can try to build something around now George and Westbrook, but they're a lesser team than they were whenever they ended up losing to the Warriors, and the Warriors added the guy that they lost.
How cool is that? I mean, that franchise so young. How many stars have they come through that small town down there in Oklahoma? You had Harden and Durant and Westbrook all at the same time.
Which didn't win Jack, amazingly.
They got to one finals, right? Lost to the Heat. So they won Jack.
All right, fine.
They won Jack.
Sorry, I'm always defending LeBron, but, who never wins Jack. And so, yeah. I've discounted finals appearances.
Well, and those guys were kind of in the infancy of their careers, right? It wasn't Harden as we know him now. Certainly wasn't Westbrook as we know him now. Durant is a better player now. So impossible to keep all those guys. I get it. But now Paul George coming to Oklahoma City and playing with Russell Westbrook, the human triple-double. So big news down there in OKC. I forget. It was a free agency move. So Indiana got nothing in return, I guess. I don't know how it works.
Victor Oladipo. It was a sign-and-trade. It was a sign-and-trade. I'm sorry. Paul George has 1 year left on his contract. So it was Victor Oladipo and somebody else whose name I've already forgotten. Sabonis or something? Something called a Sabonis?
I heard they got two starters, basically, in return.
Right, which is amazing. That's the most they could get. But.
And you're the Pacers, man. You're in the East. Who knows? If you could get to the conference finals, you're going to win it. But as we established, it is the East. Starting lineup for the Royals' first game today, as we are just about an hour out from baseball tonight with Danny Klingseal. I've already seen him in here roaming around. Whit Merrifield leading off. Ramon Torres playing second base. Whit's going to be in right today. Ramon Torres hitting in the two-hole. Lorenzo Cain, Eric Cosmer, Salvador Perez, Mike Moustakas hitting sixth. Brandon Moss back in there as they're loading up the lineups with lefties today. Moss the DH, Alcides Escobar the shortstop, Alex Gordon in left field to face Berrios. He's had a good season, 7-2 with the Minnesota Twins. And, of course, Luke Farrell making his major league debut on the bump for Kansas City. Up next, we'll talk Sporting Kansas City with Brad Porter. And we'll talk these Royals as well, maybe a little border war, whatever pops into my head. This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.